Open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 is where we're going to find our text this morning. And while you're finding Matthew 7, you might also just see if you can mark Luke chapter 11. We're also going to look there just a little bit as well. Luke 11, Matthew 7 and Luke 11, 7-11. Y'all remember those? Okay, just checking. I think they were come and goes, and now they're Mavericks. It's hard to keep up. Something like that. All right. You guys ready? Ready or not, let's stand together. We're going to pray, and then we're going to get into the Word. I'm so thankful you're here today. It's a beautiful day. It wasn't too chilly this morning. I know some of you thought it was, but it wasn't. It was just right. Just right. I know that's because that's what it was, so that's what it was supposed to be. It's not fair. Don't listen to Frank. He's been cold since he got under 80. So, I'm so thankful you're here, and it's good to be together around God's Word. I'm excited and convicted about what we're going to study today. We're going to learn a little bit about prayer. How many of you believe prayer works? Yeah, and how many of you pray like you ought to? Okay, all right. That's the only thing I can pray. I pray all the time, but I don't know that I've ever prayed consistently the way that I should. And it is so difficult to pray like we ought to. But we're going to learn from the Lord how we ought to pray today, and I hope it'll encourage our hearts. Let's pray now. Father, I thank you for everyone who's gathered. And I pray as we approach your word, we would remember this morning that this is the very word of God. The Bible isn't just a collection of books. It is inspired by you, God. It is breathed out by you. And the holy men of God spake as they were moved by your Holy Spirit. And help us to realize when we read your word that you are speaking. And I pray that that'll always be on our hearts. I pray your Holy Spirit would guide us, that you would teach us, and that you would lead us into all truth today. Please bless your word in spite of me. God, I'm nothing without you, and I just pray you'll bless your word and help us to have ears to hear and hearts ready to obey. Lord, I pray that anyone hearing this message, if they've never been born again, that today would be the day of their salvation. They would turn away from their sin and unbelief, and they would trust with all their heart in Jesus who died for them and rose again. Please bless, please help, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. While you're still standing, verse 7, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Amen. Please be seated. So just imagine for a second, if you can. Some of you have seen the pictures on the hillside. Some of you maybe have even been there. But the Sea of Galilee, for a lot of us, just looks like a really big lake. But the Sea of Galilee, surrounded by the Galilean hillsides, you can imagine going there, Jesus going up on the hillside, his disciples come to him, and multitudes gather around him. So there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people gathered around Jesus. He is up above them where he can speak, and they can all hear him, and Jesus is speaking to the crowds. And on that hillside, he's been preaching for some time now, and we have recorded. We don't know that we have all of his words, but we have what the Holy Spirit intended for us to have in the Word of God. And so there they are. And Jesus has called them for a righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, who were the most morally righteous people of the day. He's called them to have a true righteousness of the heart, not just outward behavior. He's told them to love their enemies, to turn the other cheek when they're insulted, to take insult even further. He's told them to be pure in thought as well as in deed, to give and pray and fast in secret, to lay up treasures in heaven, not on the earth, to trust their father instead of worrying about tomorrow, to judge righteous judgment. In other words, not to be condescending or condemning others in hypocrisy. And every command that he gives just keeps stacking up and stacking up. And I don't know if you've been paying attention. If you just go back and read the Sermon on the Mount from the first word to where we are today, at some point, I can imagine if you were sitting there in the crowd, you'd be like, who can live like this? Like, who in the world could possibly do that? Who can be right in their heart and mind? Who can love even their enemies? I mean, who could possibly be more morally righteous than the scribes and Pharisees are? Who in the world can live like this? And so it's at that point in the message, God knowing their hearts, that Jesus says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. I want you to understand today that these are not just random words that Jesus spoke or random promises about you getting whatever you want. These are not just random promises that God says, I'm going to give you whatever you want, whatever you ask for. They are divine provision. Amen. For living the way that Jesus is teaching his followers to live. Amen. Okay? You guys understand the context is absolutely crucial in our understanding of the Word of God. Amen. You can't just pull ask, seek, and find, and God's going to give you whatever you ask for. You can't just pull that out of the context. That's how we get so messed up in theology and teaching today, okay? The Sermon on the Mount brings us to a place of absolute despair. What Jesus does is brings us to a place where you cannot live this way in your own strength and power. Amen. And that's what God does all through his Bible. It's like the law, right? When God gave the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Why? Because if you've ever studied the law, if you ever read the Old Testament, you read the law of God, what you're going to come away from it going is, I can't do that. Amen. You're either going to deceive yourself and say, man, I'm really good and I do keep it, which would be a lie. Right. Or you're going to be overwhelmed with the weight of it and say, I can't live up to that, and throw up your hands and say, what can I do? Well, here's what you can do. You can ask, seek, and knock. You can cry out to God for help to live the life that he's calling us to give. The Christian life is not difficult. The Christian life is impossible to live on your own. You cannot do it in your own strength and power. Amen. You have to learn to rely completely on God. Amen. I'll help you remember that. How many of you like frogs? No, frog legs. That'll work. That's fine. It's like some of you. How many of you like chickens? Yeah, especially the kind that are fried, right? Amen. Okay. Frog, fully rely on God. Okay? Fully rely on God. That's what Jesus is teaching us to do, is to fully rely on him. He wants to move us from relying on ourselves to depending on him. He wants us to move from our own self-effort to communion with him. What does that mean? It means that Jesus, it's not that you never try to live the Christian life. It's just that you're not focused on trying to live the Christian life. You're focused on walking with Jesus. Amen. You're not focused on trying to do better and stop doing bad things and start doing good things. Your focus is on being close to him. Amen. And what happens is when you're close to him, you live that life out of that. It flows from that relationship, and it's not all about your self-righteous efforts. Amen. Okay, Amen. That's what the Lord is teaching us to do. So here's the commands, and I think there's a command, there's a progression, there's an increase of intensity as he moves through this. He says, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. So these are all present imperatives, so they're all commands, and they're present tense. So what it means is ask and keep on asking. Amen. Amen. It means seek and keep on seeking. And it means knock and keep on knocking. And so what the Lord is teaching us is to continue moving in our intensity. So it also carries the nuance, the idea of dependent asking. In other words, I'm not just asking something because I want it. I'm asking something because I understand I absolutely desperately need it and I can't get it on my own. Okay? So it would be when you're a small child and you ask your parent for something, you just can't do it on your own. You need mom or dad to get it for you. You need mom or dad to do it for you. You need it. It's a need, and you cannot fulfill that need on your own. You need somebody who's stronger than you, more powerful than you, more able than you are to do this thing for you. And that's exactly what prayer is, isn't it?
Amen.
I can't do this. God, I need you, and I'm asking you to help me because I need this. I need you, and I need your strength, and I need your presence, and I need your help, and I cannot get it without you giving it.
Amen.
So that's the kind of asking we're talking about. James chapter 1, verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 5. Now, James teaches us a lot about prayer. Now, he gives it very directed, very focused, but the principle applies. So he's going to teach us about praying, about wisdom. But the principle goes beyond just asking for wisdom. It goes to all of our Christian living.
Amen.
If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally. That means abundantly. And upbraideth not. He doesn't hold back. And it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. If you lack wisdom, ask God, and God will give it. But when you ask, don't ask wavering. You ask with absolute faith, with absolute confidence in God, because you don't want to be like somebody who's driven with the wind and tossed. Has anybody ever been on a boat in choppy water? Can you just go like this if you have been? Okay? It's kind of hard to stand up. Kind of hard to walk around. It's hard to move forward when you're on storm-tossed seas. And that's what he's saying. If you are asking, if you're praying without faith, without trusting God, without confidence, then you're going to be staggering all over the place. So you need to be on the solid ground, the firm rock of foundation of faith in Jesus, knowing that he's able.
Amen.
Not only knowing that he's able, but believing that he loves you and he's always going to do what's best for you. Here's a shock. Let's try to buckle up for this one. Ready? God knows what's best for you.
Amen.
Better than you do.
Amen.
Now, you all amen that, but I know how you pray. I know how you feel. When you pray for something, you ask for something, and God does something completely different, and you're like, man, what's going on, God? I mean, I asked for you to do this way, and you didn't do it. And I don't know that any of us would like verbalize it. I hope not. But somewhere in our hearts, our attitude is, God, what were you thinking? Hey, what were you doing there? Like, what? How stupid are we? Like, God knows.
Amen.
God knows.
Amen.
I mean, I look at it sometimes. I pray about stuff, and God does something completely different, and I'm just sitting back thinking, like, that's not how I'd have done it. Okay, I see if this lands. Any of you football fans, anybody like to watch football? Could I just see your hands? Like, don't be ashamed. Okay, so there are a lot of people here. Some of you are like, I couldn't care less. How about baseball? Any baseball fans? See if I'm going to try to catch everybody. Okay. So I don't know if you do this, but when I watch football, I spend a lot of time yelling at the TV. Anybody do that?
Yes.
And it's really stupid, right?
Yes.
Because I couldn't even run up and down the field twice, but I can sit in my chair and think about how they could do better.
Same.
From my chair, I'm a better referee.
Yes.
Way better referee. I mean, I can see everything from my perspective. I'm a way better quarterback. I can't understand how he missed. Two wide open receivers. They're right there. What's wrong with you? It's not like there's six 300-pound, 7-foot-tall men coming at him. Like, what's his problem, right? I can really do it well from where I'm sitting, which is all a bunch of nonsense. I wouldn't last 5 seconds on the field. They would absolutely crush me, right? I know that. I understand that. I would get out there and try to referee if I was. I would not last for one whole game. One person from the stand would say one mean thing to me, and I'd be like, you know what? This isn't worth it. I'm going home. Some dad up there cussing me out. I'm like, what am I doing? They don't pay me enough. I'm going home. But that's the way we are with life. We always think we've got it figured out. And so when I'm talking about asking with faith, I'm saying what we need to do is ask, believing not only that God's able, but that he is going to do what's best.
Amen.
Now, you can ask. And I think you should pray specific prayers. When you ask specific things, God gives specific answers. And I think that's good. We just always have to understand that our heart's desire is for His will to be done, not our own.
Amen.
Not my will, but thine be done. So we're going to ask, and we're going to be dependent. We're going to do it with faith, because we're not going to waver like somebody tossed around, because we don't want to think that we're going to receive anything of the Lord if we're unstable in all our ways. We don't want to be double-minded. We don't want to be double-minded thinking carnally with our fleshly mind and thinking spiritually at the same time. You can't have both at the same time. You got to give up that carnal mind. You got to give up that worldly thinking. You got to give that up.
Amen.
And only think with one mind when you pray. And so we ask, and we ask, and we ask. And then he says, seek. Ask, and you ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. The same thing here, guys. Seeking is to seek and keep on seeking. Seek means to look for. It means to desire. It means to wish for. It means to strive for. This means that there is an intensity about what we're looking for, okay? We had a chance to take the kids over to Murfreesboro and dig for diamonds. Have any of you ever dug for diamonds? A few of you have. We didn't find any diamonds. I'm super sad. I've read the stories. People just walk out into the field and they see something shiny and they go home with a 3-carat diamond. That was not us. We dug up 5-gallon buckets of dirt and gravel, and we took them over to the wash station and we sifted them, and we did this for hours, okay? And we did this for hours. And I, you know, in my mind, everybody that finds a diamond out there finds a big diamond. And then we're out there and we learn that you find a diamond, they're usually like this tiny. The sifting thing that it goes through is like 16th inch squares. We're talking about tiny, tiny diamonds. But you know what? We were diligent looking. I mean, we were seeking, because I really wanted to bring a diamond home. Melissa read about a man who went out there for years. I think decades he went. He would dig holes in the ground around the crater of diamonds 5 foot deep, and he would dig. And he would search, and he would seek, and he would seek. And they said that man paid for his daughter's college with the diamonds that he found. Man, Olivia's like, hey, Dad.
Yeah.
It's only a three-hour drive, Dad. You can get there every day. I'm just saying that when you seek for something, I mean, you're diligently searching for it. I don't know if there's ever been anything like that you've looked for. You know, Jesus gives those parables of the kingdom, and he talks about a lost coin and a lost sheep. You guys remember that?
Amen.
The lost silver, the lost sheep, the lost son. Things that you would desperately seek for, you would be looking for. Like, I'm telling you right now, if I had a piece of silver and I lost it, I would search diligently for it. Right? I mean, we look for things that have value. Most of you, it's really hard to get something that registers with you other than your glasses. Where's Brother Carl at? I mean, we're trying to find our glasses. Like, where are they? When my mom couldn't find her glasses, she would search the whole house, and usually she found them right here. Right? Or they might be right in your pocket, right? Anybody ever lose your cell phone? Do you search pretty diligently until you find it? Yeah, because it's very valuable to you. It's very important to you. Maybe more valuable to us than it should be, but if I can't find my phone, I'm looking for it. Now, sometimes it's in my hand. But I'm searching diligently for it. When we pray, God wants us to be serious about our prayers. He wants us to seek for something. I think too many times we expect God to take our prayers more seriously than we do. What do I mean by that? I think sometimes we expect God to take our prayers more seriously than we do. I mean that we flippantly pray. Without seriousness, we pray. Without even putting any thought or effort, we pray. With our heart not being in it, we pray. And then we wonder why God doesn't answer us. Like, I'm just running through the motions. I'm just checking off a list. I'm just reading through a list of names as fast as I can to say I spent my time in prayer. And I'm really asking and expecting God to do something? No, He wants you to take your prayer seriously. He wants you to pray seeking. So we ask, and then we seek. We're desiring for something. We're longing for something. We are looking for something, and we're doing well because we know where to look. We're looking to God. We're doing it in prayer. And then he says knock. To knock means to keep on knocking. It's to keep pressing at the door. So I told you we were going to look in Luke chapter 11. I'd like to do that right now. Luke chapter 11. Look at verse 1. Now, just so you understand the context, the Sermon on the Mount was early in Jesus' ministry. This account in Luke, Jesus teaches the same truths. It's probably about 18 months later, and probably in his Judean ministry. Remember, Jesus was a rabbi. He was an itinerant preacher. You might understand it better like he was a circuit riding preacher. Jesus went from place to place, preaching and teaching in different villages and towns, and rightly so, he taught the same truths over and over again everywhere he went, right? He didn't change the truth because he was in a different town. So this was probably about a year and a half later than the Sermon on the Mount, and here Jesus is teaching. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." And he said unto them, "When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And he said unto them, "Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say to you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity," or we might say his persistence, "he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and to he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. If a son ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" So here Jesus, parallel teaching the same truths at a different place at a different time, but the truths are all the same, right? Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock. And when they want to know about praying, he gives them a story. Here it is. In the middle of the night, you go to bed, you get all your children into bed, everybody snuggled up in bed, and your neighbor comes, and he's like, "Hey, neighbor, I need your help. I've got some people, they just showed up at my door, and I don't have anything to give them. Please give me a couple of loaves of bread so I have something to give them." Now, you got to understand in that era, of course, there were no hotels. They couldn't go. They couldn't be smart and go to the Holiday Inn. They had to go and rely on the kindness of people that they knew, right? So when somebody came to town, it was incredibly, incredibly important for them to be hospitable. You had to show love to them, welcome them into your home, and provide for them. If you didn't do that, it was a terrible mark on your character as a person in that culture. Everybody understand? So it's a big deal. So this guy has somebody come to his house. He doesn't have anything. So he runs to the neighbor, and he knocks on the door. And he says, "I need your help. I need a couple loaves of bread. I got some people who stopped by. I wasn't expecting them. I have nothing to give them. Please help me." So he was desperate for just a couple of loaves of bread. But the guy says, "Man, listen, I'm in bed. I just got the kids in bed. Go away. Leave us alone." Okay? Can you imagine? I mean, just imagine. Can you imagine one of your neighbors coming to your house, knocking on the door at midnight, and saying, "Hey, I need a couple loaves of bread"? What would you say? "Go away, or I'm going to call the cops." AJ would be like, "Come on in. I'm going to stay in bed. You let yourself in." No. I hate it when when we go door knocking and we're trying to share the gospel with people, it is always terrible when you knock on the door and they're like, "Come in." And I'm like, "You don't know who I am." So this guy's, the door's latched. It's locked up. Everybody's in bed. And he says, I got the kids in bed. Leave us alone. Maybe he's got little ones. He just got to sleep. You know how important that is. Like, I just got the baby. Shut up. Be quiet. Right? He won't get up and help him because he's a friend, Jesus says. And you got, I know you guys are all self-righteous. You're like, what kind of friend is that? I would get up and help my friend. Okay. But Jesus says he doesn't get up and help him because he's his friend, but because of his persistence. What does that mean? The guy just won't leave him alone. I need some bread. Just two loaves, man, please. I got people at my house. You got to help me. Come on, please. And he just keeps knocking on the door, right? How many of you are annoyed already? Please stop. So I don't imagine it was a good exchange. I imagine the guy got out of bed. He was probably really grumpy. He slung up in the door, threw him some bread, and said, go away, right? But the guy got his bread, and he went home. This is what Jesus teaches us about prayer. And I think the picture, remember, ask, seek, then knock. Amen. What is that? It's about persistence. Amen. It's about keeping on praying. I meet some people sometimes, and I hate it because they're hurt. And they'll say, you know, I asked God for something one time, and he didn't give it to me. So I don't believe in God now, or I don't go to church, or I'm not going to serve God who doesn't answer my prayers. Now, there's a lot of brokenness in that heart. Listen, one, God's God, and he's not obligated to do what you tell him to do or ask him to do. I told you, he loves you, and he's going to do what's best for you, right? Two, just because you prayed something one time and God didn't answer you, what does he say? Like, if the one you're asking told you how to ask. Amen. And he said to not just ask. He said to seek. Amen. And to knock. Amen. So be persistent in your prayers. James goes on, we talked about James, he goes on to tell about praying fervently and earnestly. The fervent and earnest prayer of a righteous man avails much. And he uses the picture of Elijah. You remember what happened? He asked God, and it didn't rain for 3 years in Israel. And he goes back and he prays again, and it rains. Remember that? 3.5 years. It doesn't rain, then it does rain. But if you go read the story, seven times he gets on his face and he cries out to God for rain. And he sends a servant, go look and see. Go look at the ocean and see. And 7 times he prays and sends him. It took 7 times before the man says, I see a cloud like a man's hand coming out of the sea. You guys remember that? 7 times. He prayed persistently. So I want to encourage you. This kind of praying is not about you getting whatever you want. I know it's November now. It's time to celebrate Christmas. Some of you have been working on your Christmas list all year long. This is not about praying for all the things you want on your Christmas list. That's not what this is about. This is about asking God to help you live the way Jesus has taught us to live. And you want that. And you need that. So you say, God, help me. And you seek it. God, help me. And you keep going back to Jesus and saying, Jesus, help me live the way you've called me to live. I want to live my life for my King. I want to live the way you've called me to live. God, there's no way that I can live the way you've taught me to live on my own. I need you to help me. I don't forgive like I ought to forgive. Please help me forgive. God, I don't love the way that I ought to love. Help me to love. God, I've been insulted and I really want to get them back. God, take that away from me. I need you to help me. Amen. This is what kind of praying we're talking about. Asking, seeking, and knocking. So that's the commands, but I want you to get the promises. The promises. Look at it. Back in Matthew 7:7. Ask, what's it say? And it shall be given you. Seek, amen, and ye shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Receive, find, and it will be opened unto you. These are the promises that he gives. Jesus says, shall be. It will be. It will be done. If we ask, seek, and knock the way Jesus is teaching us to, remembering that we're praying, not my will be done, but thy will be done. When we learn to pray the way he teaches us to, with faith, with confidence in him, nothing wavering. When we pray with the right heart, believing God's going to do these things for us because he says he will. I want you to notice the universality of it. He says, it's for everyone. Whoever asks, whoever seeks, whoever knocks, it shall be done. These promises aren't limited to just a select few people. The promises aren't to the Jews only. It's not for only those who are freeborn. It's not only for those who are educated. It's not for only certain nationalities. It's not only for certain other divisions that we make up. God says, if you ask, seek, and knock, it'll be done. Amen. It'll be done. Everyone who asks, seeks, and knocks receives the promises. That's encouraging. You know, the gospel's for everybody. Amen. for the Jews, for the Gentiles, for the barbarians, the Scythians, the bond, the slaves and the free men, for men and women and boys and girls, those who cry out to God in faith, that you receive. Amen. Jesus died for all.
Amen.
Because we were all dead.
Right.
He's the propitiation, the atonement for our sins, not for ours only, but also for sins of the whole world. Right. What that means this morning, friend, is the first prayer that matters is that you would cry out to God for forgiveness and salvation. Amen. What does that mean? It means today you understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He paid the price for you. We've all sinned to come short of the glory of God. I mean, we've been talking about not being able to live up to what Jesus has called us to do as believers, but what about unbelievers? They're lost. They're condemned. They're still in their unbelief and sin. The wrath of God is abiding on them. And if you've never trusted Jesus, that's you. But you can turn away from that today. Repent. Turn away from your unbelief and turn to faith in God. And you call on the name of the Lord and he will save you. Ask and you will receive eternal life.
Amen.
Ask and you'll receive.
Amen.
But for those who believe, it's for all of us who ask, seek, and knock. He promises. He promises that we'll receive, we'll find, and the door will be opened. That's the certainty. There's a universality. It's everyone who asks. There's a certainty. They receive, they find, and it will be opened. They're absolute statements. The Father stands ready to pour out his love and his blessings. It is a guarantee.
Amen.
He has the ability, doesn't he?
Amen.
But not only the ability, but he has the desire. He wants to bless you, and he will. It's grace. It's not what we earn. It's what he gives out of his goodness. And notice the quality. What he gives is good. What he gives is good. He may not always give us exactly what we're asking for. He may not always give us what we're seeking for. The door he may open may not be exactly what we thought on the other side, but what he gives is always good.
Amen.
We'll dig in a little more this afternoon at the 1 o'clock service, but that's what he teaches, right? Listen, if your son asks you for bread, you're not going to give him a rock.
Amen.
If you grew up around Galilee at that time, the bread and the stones sometimes looked a lot alike. They made a little round piece of bread. And a lot of times there were rocks outside that looked a lot like a piece of bread. And I can just imagine kids playing in that day using the rocks like they were bread. You guys do that stuff when you were a kid? I mean, my kids, and when I was a kid, you grow up, I mean, everything could be pretend food. I mean, we made mud pies. They did not taste like chocolate. Okay? So you can imagine that. But if your son's hungry and you're outside and he says, "Dad, I'm so hungry, give me a piece of bread," and you sneak over and grab a rock and say, "Here, son, have some of this." Right? And so we're like, I would absolutely do that to my kid. Maybe as a joke, but not seriously. If your child's hungry, you're going to feed him. That's the picture that he gives. If they ask for a fish, you don't give them a snake. What kind of person would give a child a snake? He says, and if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children that ask, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask?
Amen.
What he gives is good.
Amen.
Psalm 34, if you would please, find Psalm 34. Psalm 34, David wrote this psalm when he was running from Saul. And he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints. For there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing.
Amen.
Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Listen to me. Ask, seek, and knock, because your Father in heaven is good. And he knows how to give good things to those that ask. Everyone else, the young lions and all those who have their own strength and power, they may hunger, they may not have what they need, but if you fear God and trust in him, you seek him, and you'll have everything that you need. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. As we get ready to have a verse of invitation this morning, just pray that you're looking to God for help. None of us can live the Christian life on our own. If you've ever tried, I know that you've been discouraged, because trying to live the Christian life in your own strength and power is always going to end in failure. But what you can do is learn to fully rely on God. You can learn to ask and seek and knock and be persistent in your prayers and be faithful in your prayers and have a heart and a passion, a fervent, earnest prayer life where you're truly seeking God. Maybe there's some things going on in your life right now. You need God's help. Listen to me. Let's not just talk about prayer or listen to me talk about prayer. Let's pray. We've got an opportunity here at the end of our service to pray. You pray right where you're standing. Or if you feel led to, you can come and pray right down here at the front and humble yourself before God. Whatever it is, whatever's going on in your life, I just plead with you to ask him, to seek him, and to knock on his door today. And let his will be done in our lives. Lord, I pray that you'll bless everyone that's here and those who are watching online. I pray that you'll help us to be men and women and boys and girls who pray the way you taught us to pray. If anyone here or watching online has never been born again, I pray that today they would turn away from their sin and unbelief. They would trust with all their heart in Jesus who died for them and rose again. I thank you for the promise of eternal life to all who believe, the joy and the peace and the hope that you give us. And please help us not just to trust you with our salvation, but to continue trusting all the days of our life. Help us to pray. Help us to be persistent. And Lord, help us to always give thanks and rejoice when you answer our prayers. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing.
Page 531.
The Lord's convicting your heart. You come. Got something you need to pray about it. Pray.